Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fourth and goal, clock running, offense on the field. They've got it down at the 2.
Listen, I'm okay with this decision, but, you know, Ben Johnson is a wonderful play caller, a creative play caller. I think they're a little bit too far for the run game, but I would try to use Caleb Williams, a run-pass option, get him on the edge, but he has to have a chance to make this play.
They go end around. Moore's going to toss it and into the end zone to a wide open Williams. Well, we saw the misdirection on multiple plays on this drive from Ben Johnson as he goes even deeper into his bag of tricks. And the Chicago Bears on the board here in Cincy. And again, this, if you make it a list of where this offense needs to improve, it's right here. Red zone struggles. DJ Moore lines up in the backfield again. Misdirection. This is Zacchaeus, finds the edge. Zacchaeus lunging. Touchdown. Third and goal, Bengals rush. Fourth. To the end zone. Loveland for the Chicago touchdown. So Caleb Williams atones for the miscue just on the previous play, and he slings one to his rookie tight end to put the Bears back in front.
This is exactly what it takes to be a good red zone offense in the passing game. Quick timing, set up, throw it on time, on target. You got a big mismatch inside. That's how you can use a tight end like Colston Loveland at 6'6", 240 pounds.
And for Colston Loveland, the player they took 10th overall in the draft, he's got his first NFL touchdown catch. Chicago takes over after the missed field goal by McPherson. Can they lean on this ground attack? Menungai, sensational right from the start. Menungai unleashed again into the second and third level as he continues to gash his defense.
This is just a crusher, but you're going to see DJ Moore come into the screen, and he's really going to get the key block. He's going to crack down inside. You get a pull around on Cam Taylor-Britt, and there's just another missed tackle. Battle comes over. He's got to find a way to make that tackle and get Menungai to the ground, but Menungai cuts back, and boy, that is just a killer play for Cincinnati.
Flacco to the end zone. It's fair for the touchdown. So the Bengals not going quietly.
And this is
23-yard pass.
This is incredible. If you're the Bears on defense, Fitch is going right up the seam. Brisker is the safety on that side.
So Zach Taylor says, let's go for the two-point try right here.
If you get the 2 points now, then you can win it. If you don't, you still have an opportunity to tie if you get another touchdown.
Flacco, end zone, it is caught. Higgins, Joe Cool,
leads them down the field, the quick strike that they were hoping for. Two-point try makes it a six-point game. Second and goal. Flacco, end zone, touchdown, Yossi Vosh. Joe Flacco bringing the Bengals back from the dead. And we are tied. Improbable. Williams slings it. Williams, Loveland, nose off his man. He's going to score.
Home.
Colston Loveland in a jaw dropper. 58 yards on the catch and run from the rookie.
Flacco probably doesn't have the arm to get it all the way to the end zone here. So if you're the Bears, no matter what happens, knock the ball down or tackle.
Flacco trying to give his guys a shot. Fires down the field, and it is picked. Nashawn Wright. And the Chicago Bears survive a career day from Joe Flacco in a potentially epic comeback by the Bengals. But in the end, it's the Bears in a thriller, 47-42.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, in the building, therapist Gabe is here to talk about this epic comeback by the Bengals that turned into an epic comeback by the Chicago Bears. That's what it felt like when I was watching. So much to talk about today. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And Great Clips. Shout out Great Clips. Love those guys. obviously, I'm going to be hanging out with you guys till 5 a.m., which is, do I have five hours enough time to talk about this whole thing right here? But the phone lines are open, all right? And you know how I roll. Therapist Gabe, I need to talk to you about this one. I have so many thoughts about this game and, you know, where it could have gone wrong and, you know, how we could have been talking about a loss today. But I want to hear from you. So, again, the phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Like, when you're thinking about all the stuff that happened today, the run game, the explosion in the run, Kyle Manungai, I didn't think he was going to last four quarters the way that Ben Johnson was leaning on him. Like, what did you think about him? Was it Kyle Manungai or was it the scheme? Caleb Williams had himself a day, I guess. That's the part I don't know how to feel about this one. Like, I want to be happy, but the cynic Bears fan in me is just like, dude, I am happy. You know what? No. Let me take that back. I am happy. A happy Monday when the Bears win. Few and far between. Give me the dub. I'll take it. Five happy Mondays as opposed to three sad Mondays. Bears 5-3 on the day. Just so many things that could have happened there. Caleb Williams, as mentioned, threw for 280 yards, three touchdowns. That should make me feel great. No interceptions. Only sacked twice. I feel like that should be there. For the Bengals, I mean, geez, throwing for 470 yards and losing? Imagine being on the other side of that. The defense for the Chicago Bears, you know, whose was worse in that one? You know what I'm saying? I will say the fact that Chase Brown, you know, only rushed for 37 yards says a lot about this Bears front four. They've been putting a lot of pressure, not just on opposing quarterbacks, but, you know, last week against the Ravens, Derrick Henry only had 71 yards. Chase Brown, 11 carries, 37 yards today. So, I mean, obviously, who needs to run when you could just throw the ball, let me see, 17 times to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? Now, Chase Brown did have 14 targets. That's wild for your running back to have 14 targets. 14 targets, so he had 8 catches, 75 yards. I mean, it was obviously everyone had stats in this game for everything that you saw there. You also got a Colston Loveland sighting. I want to talk to you, like, are you part of the group that now that Colston Loveland had a game, all of a sudden you're in? You're in on Colston Loveland again? Maybe you weren't out, or maybe this is the game that you can point to and put it in your group chat, because Lord knows my group chat is full of these conversations about Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren. Then the final minute, two lead changes, an onside kick, a comeback, then the backbreaker. Colston Loveland, that was a great play. But who gets credit for this one? I mean, there's just so many questions to ask in regarding this one. And I know more than anything else, I've done my fair share of overnights. We got Grant Leader producing today. Grant, what's going on, man? How you feeling over there?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, like I said, I can't decide if I want to be happy or
I think you should be happy.
Yeah, and again, they're few and far between.
After what happened last weekend?
That's what I'm saying. So Grant Leader is here to answer your phone calls. All right, he's producing. He just left his other job. Is that right? You left your other job?
Yeah, I left my other job just to get here. So we're moving through, I want to say, 15 to 20 hour work day.
I love that, man. Yeah. It's the grind.
It's the grind. We love it.
It's what has to happen, you know, in those situations. Do you mind if I ask where you're coming from, like what the other job was? Do you hate that?
No, it's okay. I was coming from P.F. Chang's. So I work over there just part-time just to, you know, pay the bills. To pay the bills, I came right over here.
Listen, so you're a server at PF Chang or you're a chef?
Yeah, but I was actually at BetMGM Network at 6 a.m. this morning, got out at 12, then at 3 o'clock went over there, got out around 8 or 9, and then came over here, and I'm going to be with you until 5, 6 a.m.
So no sleep.
We're good. We got the Celsius in the fridge. We're good.
That's good, man. I love stories like that because I try to tell people all the time they want to get into media. They're like, dude, how do I get in? I said, the problem is you have to outgrind me.
Yeah, you got to outgrind everybody.
And that's tough. And my boy Grant is doing a 6 to 6 on the radio, essentially, you know what I'm saying? With a P.F. Chang's in between. Now, where is this P.F. Chang at? Because you never know. You might get somebody who wants to stop by, hit you up with a nice tip.
Yeah, it's the P.F. Chang's in Northbrook, right? Northbrook Court, that mall over there.
Yeah. Way up north, off the 94. I got you. Okay. All right. So, if you go to P.F. Chang's up north, you got that rich money up north. You can go ahead and stop by. You got to see my guy, Grant, and you make sure you drop him 35% at the very least.
I appreciate
that. No 20%. We're not doing that over here. Not Grant, at least.
I appreciate
it. He needs something. But Grant, I've had my fair share. Oh my God, Jesus. When I first started at this company, which at the time was CBS Radio, then it went over to Entercom, then changed into Odyssey. But when I started here in 2008, that's how long. Were you even born in 2008, Grant?
Give me a little bit of slack on that one. Yeah, I was a 97 baby. Okay. So, I was in elementary school.
You were 11, my friend.
I was 11, I know.
You were 11, all right? And are you from Chicago or no?
Yeah, Schaumburg area.
Okay, so then you heard me on
Cook County birth certificate.
Yeah, so you've heard me on B96. You grew up to me on B96.
Mm-hmm.
I started in 2008 at B96 doing the morning shows. Oh my God, Jesus. But in 2008, I remember I would actually in this room, because this room right here wasn't 670 The Score. 670 The Score used to be on the 12th floor. All right.
Never been up there.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay.
They cut floors, right? So we used to have, actually, no, I'm sorry, 11. It used to be on 11. Then it got bumped down to 9 because we got rid of our 11th floor. That's how long I've been here, Grant. Before this station was on a different floor, okay?
The only floors I've been on are ground,
yeah,
basement, 9th and 10th. That's it.
10th. So 670 The Score comes on here. So at the time, this room belonged to what was at the time Jack FM, all right? So Jack FM, for those radio historians that are out there, Jack FM is now 104 Jams, okay? The cool station, you know what I mean? Sonic, shout out Sonic over there. So but it used to be Jack FM over here, and then it became K Hits. So it was Jack FM, K Hits, and then it became 104 Jams. But it used to be in the studio. So in 2008, I used to be in this studio because this was actually the first I interned at B96 in 08. But where I actually first started working was in this room at Jack FM running the boards. Anyway, so I used to work overnight over here at Jack FM, walk down the hall, do my internship with Eddie and Jobo on B96, go to class, go to work, then come back and do this whole thing all over again. Then when I actually finished school, I would still work overnights because you got to make the money. You know how it is, Grant.
Indeed, indeed.
I would work the overnights. Then I'd go work the morning show. So I go work here. Then I actually work the morning show down there. Then at the time, I was the production director of WXRT. because the production director got fired. Okay, so then I step in, and I was working at XRT with legendary program director Norm Weiner. Shout out to anybody that knows that name at 12:13 in the morning. Norm Weiner and I, we work upstairs, and then my boss at B96 was like, if you don't make him a full-time production director, you need to send them back downstairs. So I would go do the overnights here, B96 over there, go upstairs to do production. Then I'd leave in the middle of the day to tutor. So I'd go to Clemente High School and tutor, or I'd go to whatever elementary school I was tutoring at. Then come back to finish my work from XRT, try to sleep for a couple hours, because then I have to be back here at midnight to come. So the grind is real. The grind exists, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and sleep's so overrated nowadays. It's so out of school.
At your age.
Girl. Yeah, it's so out of style.
At my age with three kids, sleep is at a premium.
Yeah, you definitely need it with three kids.
I went to bed tonight, because that's the key to working the overnight, for those of you that are listening. The key to working overnights is to get a couple of hours before the shift starts. At my age, you know what I'm saying? Like, if very young, like you, Grant, yeah, no problems. Boom, boom, boom. Easy does it. I could sleep two hours.
Took a little power nap in between probably the second quarter and halftime.
That's what I'm saying. Smart. You can catch up with Twitter, you know what I'm saying? So to getting the couple hours of sleep is key, because then it could fuel you till, you know, a couple hours in. And then when I get home at 5:30-ish in my Oak Park lush house, I get to go to sleep for a nice whopping hour, because then my kids wake up and then they got to go to school. So I have to be a part of that process. So I'll get about an hour and change on that end. And then it all just depends. I got basketball at 12. Do I want to sleep before then? Do I want to put in some more? I got TV tomorrow, CHSN all week long, myself, David Hall, which is also weird. I'm doing a midnight to 5 shift. And then I got to see, talk about the grind. I'm doing this midnight to 5 shift about the Bears. Then I have to go home, do all this stuff, and be on TV. Be at the United Center to do TV at 3:30. And then I got to be on with David Haw, who, you know, he has a long day. Everybody knows David Haw has a long day.
He's a very long day.
Every day is a long day if you're David Haw. But when I start at midnight to 5 a.m., and then I got to be on with David Haw and do two shifts just like him, who's more tired? Who's really grinding, David? Is it you or is it I? I think it's me in this situation, maybe. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Grant Leader producing today. And we are ready to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. This game, 47-42, Bears get the victory. Grant, another thing is, and I tell people this all the time, people are always like, oh, man, how are the phones? And I'm like, look, people only call when the Bears lose. You know what I mean? It's just a thing.
I would have loved to see it last weekend, like with the Raven, losing to the Ravens.
And that's the game ended at 3 p.m.
Yeah, it was another noon kickoff. That's three in a row for the Bears right now.
Yeah, and the phone lines from midnight to 5 a.m., there was never a lull. Not once. And that was after a loss, and that was one that happened 8 hours prior to, and the phone lines were lit the entire time. I'm not saying like all 12 phone lines, but phone calls are coming in. I never had to do this, vamp. I'm in it. But when the Bears win, this is what happens. When the Bears win, people go to sleep, and instead of counting sheep, they count Caleb Williams' touchdown throws.
I mean, they're happy.
They're happy. It's like, I get it. Even me, when I woke up from my 2-hour mini nap, I just thought to myself, no one's going to call today. I literally thought, no one's going to call. Because if I was sleeping so good, I know every other Bears fan is just sleeping. Nobody's drunk, mad at Ben Johnson's play calling or Caleb Williams' inaccuracies. Like, people are out cold right now. But you know what? I wish I had a prize to give away to the first person. Well, I wish I had a prize. I don't even know what to give away. What could I give away? I can't give away anything, actually. It's illegal. But I can give you a shout out. I want to incentivize someone to call in right now, because I think that then it gets the ball rolling. You know what I'm saying? You get the ball. People hear somebody and then it happens. You know what I mean? But I mean, because listen, I'll be honest with you. And I just, here, since I have time, shoot. So I'm getting my master's. And my class that I'm taking right now is organizational communication. And it talks a lot about, you know, do I want to go here? 4740, sure, I guess. 4742 Chicago. I'm not going to go there.
You got a lot of time on your hands.
I got too much time right now. Trust me. But you had to assess your group communication skill. right? And so he took some assessment, and my prompt was basically essentially saying that I'd rather work, I'd rather work in group settings than by myself, right? So when I was at B96, I was a morning show. It was a team. It was like three of us, four of us sometimes. And then on TV, the Chicago lead, it's myself, David Haw, and at times it was Cam Smith. I prefer group settings. Like Gabe and Grody, give me Gabe and Grody all day. You know what I'm saying? I prefer bouncing things off people, asking good questions. I'm a great listener. But rolling by yourself and being one of those guys that just loves listening to themselves talk, not my jam. That's why I like phone calls. That's why therapist Gabe is in full effect and the couch is open, because I'm not sure. And it might be you that needs to be the therapist in this situation, because you might need to tell me if it's okay to feel good about this win. Bears win 47-42. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And I myself am on air till 5 a.m. live and local. Then I'm going to pass it on over to Dustin William Rhodes. He has the pregame show leading you right into Mully and Haw. They got Olin Kreutz at 7, TJ Edwards at 8, then Raheemy Harris and Grody have two guests of their own, Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Weeder at 1. Spiegel and Holmes round things out with two guests of their own. Kurt Warner will jump on the show at 3 o'clock. And then Chris Emma, right before the fellas get out of here at 5:25, he was actually in Cincinnati covering the game, and he'll jump on with the fellas as well. So it'll be interesting to get their takes. But in the meantime, I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Aaron in Poplar Grove. Aaron, you are the first caller of the day, my friend. Kudos to you. What are you doing right now? Just curious.
I'm a truck driver. I listen to you every week after the Bears.
Hell yeah, Aaron. And you know what? And so I appreciate you feeling empathetic towards me and calling in so that way therapist Gabe can have someone on his couch today. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a giver in the end. You know, I do what I can.
All right. So what is top of mind after this Bears game, 47-42 against the Bengals?
Well, for me, so many takeaways. But for me, it's Kyle Manungai. And if this performance is able to be reproduced in general, also when Swift comes back, do we have thunder and lightning now? Or am I getting way too excited after a phenomenal performance that's been done one time by this guy?
Well, it sounds like you're saying you're in the same boat I am, which is you're not sure whether or not to be happy about this win or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not sure where to be just yet, Aaron, but I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
The good news is that Kyle Manungai has proven to be capable. The negative on that one is that it's capable against the Cincinnati Bengals rushing defense. You know, it's not necessarily against a formidable defense or opponent. What I do like, right, that you mentioned, you said it's repeatable, and that's something that Olin Kreutz has leaned on as well when talking about this particular Bears team, this iteration, and how they can win games. Listen, Caleb only completed 20 passes, right? I think to me, Aaron, right, where we can look at, and I'm going to talk about this all night, where we can look at Kyle Manungai's success for the Chicago Bears, 26 carries, 176 yards, 3 catches for 22 yards, right? But for me, yep, that is more of an indictment on Caleb Williams. And I know, I get it. Oh, damn, Gabe, why you got to be so negative? No. I'm not trying to be negative, but going into this game, Aaron, I thought, and so did everybody, this is the Caleb Williams game. Right, no DeAndre Swift against a middle of the road Cincinnati Bengals team that could upset you because they have Joe Flacco, and then Caleb Williams gets you to the promised land. What I saw far too often, now tell me if I'm wrong, Aaron. What I saw far too often was Ben Johnson leaning on Kyle Manungai, his 7th round draft pick, as opposed to leaning on Caleb Williams, his number one pick, and leaning on his arm. Did you feel that same way too, or am I maybe taking things a little too far?
So in my opinion, and we talked about this last week, I'm a forever optimist. So So for me, I look at the positive of the running game this week as opposed to Caleb maybe not throwing up mad numbers.
See, Aaron, but Aaron, I'm saying it's not about the numbers. It's the fact that Ben Johnson tried to lean on Caleb Williams. Like, hey, I'm going to put the ball in your hands. Go do what you need to do. And then when Caleb didn't do it, he was like, all right, I'm just going to run the ball with my seventh round running back who shouldn't even have probably made the team. And I'm going to just lean on him for the entire rest of the game.
Again, brother, I didn't see it
okay.
that
like
way,
it.
But I don't think as far ahead as you do. I'm very in the moment.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So to me, I saw that we had a strength going, and we leaned on our strength that day, which I think is good coaching.
It's a great point.
I don't think you go to your stud necessarily. If your stud has got a broken leg and a jacked up arm, you go ahead and go with whoever is doing the best that day. So that's how I felt it went.
Yeah, I think it's a great – I mean, listen, it's a great point, right? Because if it was Bill Belichick coaching and he saw that the run game was working, he wouldn't care who was at quarterback. He would still lean on Kyle Manunga, and that's exactly what the Bears did. What do you think about the Bears and giving up the lead in the last minute of the game, Aaron?
So I'm going to be honest. Being a truck driver, I got to get up pretty early. I was up at like 10 o'clock tonight to go ahead and be up until 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I have 5 minutes left to watch.
Oh, my God.
But I got to watch Kyle Manunga just absolutely smoke him, and that was my big takeaway.
Okay. See, now I understand, Aaron, why you're not feeling my same emotions. It's because you haven't lived you haven't lived the last 5 minutes of the game yet. And that is going to make you feel alive.
I've heard what happens, and I was listening to national talk before this, so I'm excited to catch it once I get down here and have a few minutes. But I sometimes I have to piece together the game throughout the week, even though I know what the score is.
Yeah.
So I'm really able to take my time and enjoy the game as opposed to watching it live. And things move so quickly and trying to remember, and I can kind of almost savor the game that way is how I watch it.
I love it.
But there's some days where I'm able to get through all in one shot. But I get through my games. I don't miss them.
I believe it, man. Aaron, I appreciate you for calling in, and thanks for being my first phone call today. And I'll be in one more week, so if you're working next week Sunday, I want to hear your thoughts on that game as well, all right?
You got it, brother. Take care.
Thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. We're going to take one more phone call before we head over to break. Let's go to Jeremiah. Is it Jeremin or Jeremiah? Jeremin or Jeremiah? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name?
Oh, I'm Jerry. How's it going?
Oh, Jerry. It's going good, man. So, all right, Jerry, we're thinking about this game, and I'm confused at first because I'm not quite sure if I should be happy or sad about this one. And I want to be happy, right? But I know how close we were to a loss. So what is it in your mind?
You know, thinking about all three phases of the game, they were kind of pretty bad. You could make the argument that they got beat in all three phases. First, special teams, right? So special teams, you had a block punt, you had a touchdown on a kick return, bad. They got lucky on one other missed field goal where they had a penalty called on Cincinnati, and then they went for it. That ended up working out for them. So special teams is bad. On offense, yeah, you had a really good running game, and that was great. They did, so that was a positive. I'll say that is a positive, right? The blocking for whoever was running was really good. You had Manunga was good. They had that other guy, Brown. They had big holes for him. So that was great. But Caleb looked – him running was this good, but him passing looked okay. It looked okay. It looked a little – his decision-making – actually, I know that's what it was. His decision-making was slow consistently, which has been a consistent problem with him throughout his career so far. And then on defense was the absolute worst. They couldn't stop Joe Flacco, who's only slightly older than me, and that makes me a little sad.
You could be out there playing quarterback, Jerry. You know, it could be you. But you bring up some great points, right? There were moments that the Bears really became extremely fortunate in situations. That 4th and 6 with the offsides, where then it gave Ben Johnson the gall to go for it. I mean, without that penalty, you know, there were some moments of frustration for Caleb Williams, certainly without putting up touchdowns. And that would have been another field goal had it not been the case. And I think you're right. Every time I saw Caleb draw back to pass, he looked frazzled. He certainly didn't have, you know, the ball never, or not never, but it rarely comes out, you know, when his back foot lands after taking a 3 to 5 step drop. So that's the part that bothers me. And then when he runs, it's just, I'm always concerned, right? Even though he's making good decisions, didn't have an interception on the day, it's like, is the ball going to land? Is it going to get tipped? Is it going to be a good pass? Is it going to be a dot on the chest? I mean, there's a lot of things that make you wonder when it comes to Caleb Williams. But it was a tough watch today. A fun game, but tough watch.
Well, it would have been a great game if you weren't a fan of the Bears or Cincinnati, then you'd been rooting for a good game, and then it was off. You were like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
We have all this silliness of scoring and punt returns and all this stuff. That would have been awesome. But as a fan of either team, it would have been, it would have made me concerned, and it sure did. He got the tight end. He got him hurt throwing inaccurately.
Oh,
yeah. Caleb definitely looked frazzled, and I wouldn't say the whole time, but a lot of the time.
Yeah. Jerry, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 a.m. and taking your phone calls. What are your takeaways from this game? Bears win 47-42. You could talk about Caleb Williams. Could be the defense. Could be the resilience of the Chicago Bears team. But the couch is open. The therapist couch is here, and I'm ready to chat with you. Again, 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
So Chicago takes over after the missed field goal by McPherson. Can they lean on this drive attack? Menenga! Sensational right from the start. Menenga unleashed again into the second and third level as he continues to gash his defense. This is just a crusher, but you're going to see DJ Moore come into the screen, and he's really going to get the key block. He's going to crack down inside. You get a pull around on Cam Taylor-Britt, and there's just another missed tackle. Battle comes over. He's got to find a way to make that tackle and get Menungai to the ground. But Menungai cuts back. And boy, that is just a killer play for Cincinnati.
Kyle Menungai with a run right there. One of his best, 39 yards. He had 26 carries for 176 yards on the day. And then he had three catches for 22 yards. So he had himself one. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. About to take your phone calls. Now, that run right there, the announcer, I remember when he said it, DJ Moore had a great block. Darnell Wright had himself a block right there. This man, that was the best I'd ever seen him move, but he got to the outside, and he blocked with intention and kicked out the defensive end that was waiting right there for him. It was a great job blocking by Darnell Wright on that play. But, again, a lot of things to talk about on this one. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to John out in Buffalo Grove. John, this is a game, 89 points between the two squads, but at the end you were uncertain about what you were feeling. What were you feeling after this one?
Oh, I was ecstatic. That's one of the most exciting wins I've maybe ever seen as a Bears fan. It was just phenomenal. When they got the ball back after the Bengals had taken the lead, I'm like, hey, they got 50 seconds in that time. There's still time to get a field goal. So it didn't totally shock me that they went down. And had he gotten tackled, I would hope we would have kicked the field goal and still won it if he had not broken the couple tackles in the end there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I took notes on this moment because I was like, I know I'm going to be talking about this later, John. It was 1:04 and the Bears had two timeouts left. And I thought, yeah, this Caleb Williams does this all the time. It sucks that he's in this position to have to take the Bears down the field and get some points on the board. But I felt extremely confident. When I didn't feel confident was when the first two plays bombed. And I was like, oh, my God, don't tell me that we're the only team in the NFL that can't move the football in under 2 minutes. But what do you think about Caleb Williams' performance overall? Right, we're not in spurts or not in certain throws, but just overall performance. What'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was overall very good. He had three touchdown passes, 280 yards passing. He caught a touchdown. He caught two passes, and he ran for I believe 53 yards on five carries. The guy did it all.
Yeah.
There's
no other way to look at that, right?
No turnovers.
You lead your team to victory, no turnovers. You scored when you needed to.
Passes.
Yeah, caught a touchdown pass, damn.
Right. I love the trick plays. Very cool. I thought the trick plays were phenomenal.
Here's the one thing, and I know Caleb Williams would say the same thing about himself if he were to assess his performance yesterday. 58% completion percentage is damning. Right. The problem with that number is where we as Bears fans look at it, or I do specifically, and I say 20 for 34, that is crap. Right. That is not sustainable in the NFL. But when you look at four out of his last five performances, that's where he's kind of been. Against the Raiders, 59%. Washington, 58%. New Orleans, 57%. Baltimore was really the outlier where he threw 65%. And even that, he was 25 for 38, 13 incompletions. Where this game, 20 for 34, 14 incompletions and still at 58%. It's just, it's not high enough. One of my number one gripes I had about Justin Fields was his completion percentage, right? The inability to keep drives going. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse with a stick by bringing up Justin Fields. I'm more so trying to hold Caleb Williams to the same standard, right? Where I need you to complete easy passes, you know, allow your guys to get that yak and eat off of that. But, you know, what can we – I mean, listen, we think it's an overall good game because you can look at big number statistics, right? Almost 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, the catch, et cetera. But even Caleb would say there's not even just a little bit of room for growth, but a lot of room for growth. Would you agree with that, John?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's certainly got to do better. They say his deep throws have to get better and – hey, there was no fumbles from him in the center of the sweet kill.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But, I mean, you know, one step at a time. I mean, hey, you know.
We'll take the win. We'll take the win. John, you're making me feel good about this, John. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. You're making me feel good about this because I see what's happening. You just got to feel good. Did Caleb play his best football? No. Did he do what he was supposed to do against the Bengals? I don't know. You can make an argument either way. But the answer is, the truth is no. When you go 20 for 34 against the Bengals defense that was giving up like the second most yards via the air, I think it was like 256. It was crazy. And granted, they put up 280, but it was out of necessity. You also ran for almost 200 yards. It's like, I don't know how to feel. Somebody tell me how to feel, Brandon, out in Morton Grove. Tell me how I should be feeling about Caleb Williams, please.
I understand your feelings, man, but is there a seat on the couch you have available? Preferably one like Michael Jordan has in his office.
Oh, okay, hold on. Because, you know, I have my typical couch. You know, like when you go to, I don't know if you've ever been to a therapist, they have multiple chairs and then they assess you based off where you sit at. So, yeah, I have, you know, the regular chair, I have a couch, and then I have your special chair right here to the left. Brandon, take a seat. What's on your mind? What thoughts can I help validate for you?
Perfect. So I think I figured out what Caleb's problem is, and I think it has to do with, like, touch. And but when he needs to get the throw off, he gets it off. I mean, you saw the one to Loveland. It was like he wasn't thinking about it. And I think during the game, he's, like, thinking too much. You know what I mean? Like, I know what you mean, where he's, you know, he never does, like, a five-step drop and then, boom, gets it off. You know, like, most quarterbacks in the league do. Like, I don't know if you saw Stafford's pass today. He did like a no look pass.
Beautiful.
And like all of his passes were like beautiful touch passes. And I mean, I hope Caleb was watching Flacco, because honestly, this guy does it too, man. He's got the touch on the ball. And honestly, the Bengals are not that bad of a team. If you think about it, they, went head to head with Pittsburgh there. And, you know, Pittsburgh just beat the Colts. You know, they went head-to-head with Green Bay. So, I mean, their offense is really good. They have Chase and Higgins, you know what I mean? And they scored a touchdown in, like, 12 seconds. You know what I mean? Like,
it was almost embarrassing.
They barely had the ball in the first half. You know what I'm saying? We controlled the time of possession. I think that's kind of why Ben leaned on Manungai to try to keep them off the field, honestly, man, because
that's
they were
point.
Just moving the ball.
That's
at
a,
will.
That's
you
a good,
know what I mean?
That's a good point. Brandon, I think a couple things, right? There was a moment during the game, because you said, you know, how you hope Caleb was watching Flacco. There was a moment during the game when it seemed like Caleb was just unable to, you know, effectively dump the ball off to anyone for that matter. And I thought to myself, so I'm glad you brought that up. I'm like, damn, man, Caleb, like it seems like every NFL quarterback is good at just dumping the ball off, right? To their tight end or to their running back out of the backfield. And it seems like Caleb struggles with that. And I literally thought that. I was like, he's gone up against so many quarterbacks. Why hasn't he just stolen that from them, right? The fact that they have a 3-yard dump off that turned into a 15-yard scamper, right? Like, it very rarely happens. And then you brought up something else that was very interesting, which is, you know, Caleb during the 2-minute drill, we can all agree that he can perform that well, right? He's capable of putting up points, moving the ball between the 20s. This we have no doubt about when it comes to Caleb Williams. And the interesting thing is, in a two-minute drill, you're absolutely right. It's almost like you're not tasked with thinking as much because your brain is more preoccupied with the notion that you have to score points, right? So that is probably occupying 60, 70% of your brain, like, damn, I got to get this ball out. We got to get this thing rolling. Whereas during the game, when there's plenty of time, he's probably more preoccupied with trying to make positive plays or not getting sacked or not getting intercepted. Like, he's thinking about other things, which is probably why he's holding on to the ball too long. Whereas in the two-minute drill, as you pointed out, Brandon, he is, like, locked in. You know, like when you're driving and you wake up and you're like, oh crap. I've been sleeping with my eyes open. And I feel like that's what Caleb does during those two-minute drills.
If I was him, I would work on, like, fades. Nothing but fade routes with my receivers so I can learn that, you know, arch, touch, you know what I mean? Because I feel like everything he throws is like a fastball.
Yes. You
know what I mean? Especially when he's out of the pocket. You know, and I think that's his thing, is why he's not really good on, like, pocket plays right now.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Joe Flacco. You saw Joe Flacco kind of just loft it up a couple times to guys, right? And I said that I was watching it with my father-in-law, and I was like, you know, that's what Caleb lacks. And it's not even just a touch. And I want to be very honest. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Brandon. That's something that he struggles with, you know, just kind of like lofting it up there and changing the speeds of certain throws. But where Joe Flacco would just, like, Joe Flacco's never had T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase to throw the ball to, right? Go look at the teams that he's played on. Like, his receivers have not been of that caliber. And so he understands, if I've put the ball up for someone to go get it on inferior teams with inferior talent, when I have Chase and Higgins, I don't care who's guarding them, especially not backup cornerbacks for the Chicago Bears. I'm just going to put the ball in the area where I know my guys can come down with it. And we saw T. Higgins, a kind of Moss, Nashawn Wright on that one play. But that's what Caleb is afraid to do. And I don't know if it's whether he thinks an interception is going to happen or because Joe Flacco puts the ball up for Chase and Higgins because he knows that they are the best players on the field, the best athletes on the field. Caleb might not think that about DJ Moore, might not think that about Roma Dunze.
I kind of feel like he kind of reminds me of Warner. You know what I mean? Like, when Warner was with the Rams in the Greatest Show, he had, you know, like, you know, Pro Bowl receivers, right? Holt, and then forgot who was in the backfield.
Marshall Faulk.
Isaac Bruce.
Yeah, Marshall Faulk.
Isaac,
you know what
Bruce,
I mean? And
great
he
call.
Could just dump the ball off to those guys.
Right.
And I just think that Flacco never really had that in Baltimore. And, man, I honestly could see the Bengals even winning the division. I mean, it might come down to the last game because I know the Bengals, Pittsburgh, and the Ravens have a lot of head-to-head games coming up in the weeks ahead. But it might be like a tiebreaker to call it. Like, I bet it's going to be a 9-8 winner out of that division.
I believe it. I believe it. Brandon, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff. You, my friend, have got my wheels turning up here in the cabeza. And they are certainly, because you, great stuff. Watching Flacco, you should. Caleb in the two-minute drill. Got the horse blinders on, just performing. And fade routes, touch. Just something that you can do to, you know, elevate the play of your wide receivers. Great call, Brandon. And we're still taking more of them. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live till 5 a.m. We are live and local for you so that way you can discuss the Chicago Bears victory. Bears take down the Cincinnati Bengals 47-42 at Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati, and now we get the chance to talk about it together. All right, let's go out to Israel in Round Lake. Israel, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you again, brother.
Hey, Gabe. How are you, man? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Kyle Monanga today, man.
Let's do it.
Heck of a game today. I know DeAndre Swift was obviously was looking forward to him playing today, but Kyle killed it. And I just wanted to know what you thought about his role going forward. Is that going to change?
No, not at all.
Snap counts or anything
not
like that?
All.
No?
No,
okay.
No, not at all. I will say this. And this is my only take on Kyle Monanga, and it's not a happy one, right? People were asking me, Gabe, you know, should I bet Monungai over? I was watching Lou Kanellis and Anthony Herron along with Tina Wynn and Cassie Carlson, my homies over at Fox 32, I was watching the pregame show, and both Tina and Cassie Carlson had Kyle Manungai rushing for over 100 yards and scoring 2 touchdowns. And I remember looking at the screen and being like, oh, poor ladies. They have no idea what's about to happen right here. And I would tell anybody, bet the under on Kyle Manungai. But here's the reason why. Not because I don't have faith in Kyle Manungai, Israel. It is because I thought Ben Johnson and the Bears were going to lean, forcefully lean on Caleb Williams and make him win this game. That's what I thought. Mm. So I was like, Kyle Manungai, he's going to get 10 carries for 50 yards. Because Caleb Williams is going to throw the ball 44 times. He's going to have 350 yards. Like, that's what I thought in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And then when I saw it play out, I'm like, Ben Johnson doesn't trust Caleb Williams right now. And he'd rather, which I think is odd, he'd rather hand the ball off to his seventh round running back, which is wild to me, than let Caleb Williams drop back 40 times and win him this game. That to me was the bigger takeaway than Kyle Manungai's success. Listen, you're happy for the guy. But DeAndre Swift is the alpha in that room. Manungai is a, you know, like if Kyle Manungai had to do that every single week, he'd get hurt, kind of like Jaden Daniels did, right? That's the kind of style he plays with. It's too bruising. Ask Roschon Johnson how that works in the NFL to be a guy that likes to initiate the contact when you're a running back. However, because what we're not going to do is take anything away from Kyle Manungai and his performance, right? Because this is one of those games where you see the highlight reels for weeks, right? I mean, when you're looking at the 98-yard kickoff return for Cincinnati, but the rookie running back had 176 yards. You know what I mean? Like, there's things here that you can talk about that stand out. But, I mean, didn't he look good after contact? Like, just leaning forward, whereas we're used to seeing DeAndre Swift kind of, you know, he's not built like that. You know, we get it. We see it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, didn't it feel good to see a running back like Kyle Manungai who was imposing his will as opposed to a DeAndre Swift?
It really did, man. And so I bartend every Sunday, so I can watch the whole game, but it felt like every time I looked up, he was just running the ball down the middle every time I looked up. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then I look at the stats, and Rome's got a donut, right? He's got 0-0. I'm like, what's going on? This is a crazy game, man.
It was.
And then what the onside kick and all that stuff, man, it was awesome. It was just a roller coaster today. But
Israel,
what
bar do you work at?
Go ahead. I'm at Sunset Ridge Country Club, man, in Northfield.
Damn. Getting them good tips.
That's right, man. We got Wow, I'm trying to get some more people to go in there and enjoy the games with us, man.
Yeah.
Tell me what
when Coastal Loveland scores a touchdown, since you were at a country club, was it like real quiet and everybody was just golf clapping, or were people loud and excited about it?
So they went from literally yelling, trade him, because I know Caleb, when the possession first started, you know, it was a couple, check downs and he just threw the ball away and, you know, everyone was freaking out. And all of a sudden he throws it to Loveland and everyone goes crazy, man. And I worked there, so I got to keep my cool, man, but I didn't. I went crazy with them like I was part of the country club, man. I was like,
you are. You are.
Started high-fiving everybody and it was awesome, man. I just want to keep it going. I'm a diehard Chicago fan, a 29-year-old fan, and the last time I celebrated something great was the 2016 Cubs. And I just want something to come our way, man. We deserve it. We deserve it, Gabe.
You're right. Israel,
I've been listening to you for a while, Gabe. I know you do bowls and everything. You do everything, man, and I appreciate what you do.
That's what's up, man.
And I'm going to be calling you back, man. We're gonna keep grinding it out.
You should. I expect to hear from you next week, Israel. Thanks for the call, man. That makes me feel good. And you bring up some great points. Listen, first of all, you are a part of that country club. Know that. Those people know you, and you create their experiences for them. So I appreciate you for that. And if you are at that country club, make sure you're taking care of Israel. And I can only imagine, you know what I mean, the roller coaster ride that those fans were feeling inside of that country club, trade Caleb on those first two passes, and then all of a sudden, you know, we love them. We love 1-8. That's the kind of game it was, right, where the Bears are frustrating, right? And I think what's frustrating is that you can see how good they can be, right? I want to be very clear in that. You can see how good they can be. They're winning games like this, 5-3. I mean, damn, a 5-3 team, that sounds good to me. They sound good to me. The problem is how they're winning these games and who they're winning it against, right? I mean, it's just tough, but you still got to go out and win them. And that's why I'm more happy about the future of the Chicago Bears than I am about the present. Does that make sense,
Grant? I see what you're doing, though.
Does that make sense, Grant?
You're holding back a lot. You're trying to hold back yourself so much because you don't want to dive into the copium. You don't want to dive in to the delusion that sometimes us Bears fans, we kind of draw into sometimes. Wait, you're holding yourself back.
Wait a second. Is this my therapist couch or your therapist couch?
I was just trying to...
No, because you really did hit it on the head. I am holding back because I am. I've been hurt before, Grant.
I mean, look what happened last season. 4-2.
I've been hurt before. And I have this wall around me and I'm afraid to let it down because I don't want you to hurt me again. Yes, I, like many Bears fans, feel that exact same way. But I think the other part of it is, you look at Caleb Williams and you say, damn, if you could just clean. I mean, Ben Johnson said it in his post game a couple weeks ago. Imagine if we limit these penalties. Imagine if Caleb Williams has a 66% completion percentage. And I mean, the Bears are, I tweeted it out earlier at Gabe Ramirez on Twitter. Follow me. I'll follow you back, by the way, if you do, at Gabe Ramirez on Twitter. I tweeted, I said, the things that the Bears are good at, wasting the clock. That's what I wrote, because that's it. They're not good at scoring tutties. They're good at moving the ball between the 20s. They're good at doing those kinds of things. But, oh, my gosh. All right, I'm going to take one more before we get out of here, because this guy has been on hold for a while. Let's go to Rashawn out in Elmwood Park. Rashawn, good to talk to you again, man. Are you happy and sad at the same time about this victory?
That about sums it up. It's both. I'm happy because of the victory, but I like the victory though because it is changing the culture. Because years ago we would have been something in a game like this, and 10 times out of 10 the Bears lose.
Yeah, you're right.
So I do like the fact that the culture is changing and that they're forcing themselves to win, but. The one thing that I'm really I know that the D-backs have been hurt and we're down to I don't know what, but the fact that they were able to score 15 points in such a short period of time really has me concerned. But for the most part, though, we got to take the victory as a victory.
Yeah, and that's what I want, right? Where, listen, if we as Bears fans, we've dealt with years of losing and under sub 500 teams. So to be two games above 500 and to be complaining is wild, right? Like that's a wild place to be for Bears fans. Two games above 500, we're like, man, what's going on with this team? At least I am. I know I am. So it is frustrating. But again, it's because you know what it can be, right? They have the talent. And then despite what they're missing on the defensive side of the ball, of course, I'm talking about Jalen Johnson specifically. Like when you're missing all your pieces, you're like, damn, this team could have been okay. Like it could have been fighting for the conference. But 8 games through the season, Rashawn, what do you think is the ceiling for this team this year? Not years to come, but this year specifically.
I believe just the playoffs. If we make the playoffs, I believe that's definitely an improvement. But with Caleb, I'm not giving up on him yet. But
No.
He has so much still to grow. But all the offenses that he's been through, we have to give him time to learn this offense. So, but I agree with you, though. If he could just do the easy passes, I think everything else will kind of come naturally.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call, Rashawn. 312-644-6767. You know what Sam Darnold did today? 21 for 24. I mean, come on. Like, that's what I'm talking about. When I talk about being that accurate, 21 for 24, they put up 38 points. He had 4 touchdowns. I'm not saying I need Caleb Williams to be that accurate, but I'm trying to give you an example of what being that accurate looks like, where you take tons of pressure off of your team. Continuing drives, first downs, time of possession, 7s on the board instead of 3s. I'm just trying to point that out. But you know what? I want to talk to you about it. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Takeaways from this big Bears victory. It was one that could have gave you the big one. Could have gave you the big one, the heart attack. But at the end of the day, you end up getting the victory. Bears win 47-42. And again, we're taking your thoughts. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, right here on 670. The Score, it's Gabe Ramirez. But I want to take your thoughts on this Bears victory. Again, 312-644-6767. Your call's next, right here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.